The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:25pm with Gordon Brown, Craig Forsyth and James Millman in the studio. Busy Saturday coming up with racing from Chester. It's Northumberland Plate Day at Newcastle. We've got good racing from Newmarket. There's also a card at Windsor in the afternoon, Doncaster and Lingfield in the evening, and it's Irish Derby Day at the Curragh. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Not too bad. Looking forward to a 3-day stint off after 23 days, I think, with that one.
Right. Busy.
Yeah, busy. Yeah. So 3 days off starting, well, if you're listening to this on Saturday today, if you're listening to it on Friday, tomorrow.
Thanks for clearing that up.
No worries.
You've picked a good day to have a day off. It's a very busy Saturday.
I will not be watching much racing, I can guarantee you that.
Fair enough.
I'll watch the plate, and I will watch the Irish Derby.
Yeah.
And if there's something else that I fancy, I will watch that, but I will not be watching a lot else.
Fair enough. It's good that you're going to watch the Derby and the Northumberland Plate, because we're going to talk about those two races.
Yeah.
We'll move on to that shortly. Just a quick peruse of the news, Gary, if you wouldn't mind. The big story is the new BHA zero tolerance policy on steroids. A 14-month ban will now be the sentence if your horse is caught with steroids in its system. Although Paul Bitter says he'd go for a lifetime ban. How would you stand on it?
Still think it's not enough. How can it be called a zero tolerance policy when you're only giving them a 14-month ban? Bit misleading. I don't think that's quite right, if I'm honest. And surely, as a huge deterrent against it, it should be a lifetime ban. Obviously, I mean, there will always be some circumstances where there'll be a little bit of ambiguity, I think. But I still think that unless it's going to be a lifetime ban, then I think Bittar has it right. But yeah, he's not acted on it accordingly, which I find a little strange.
Well, I think it's just the general BHA consensus was for 14 months. The good news is...
Yeah, I've not properly read the story, I must admit, but...
The good news is it's moving in the right direction, though. It was 6 months before, wasn't it? It's now 14. They are clamping down on the use of steroids, which is only good news, isn't it?
Yeah, no, very much so, yeah.
We'll talk about some horses. True story, was going to run in the Derby, Irish Derby, but due to the weather, they're now considering the Eclipse instead. He needs fast ground, doesn't he? Or he needs to be on top of the ground.
Yeah, and I think with a bit of rain forecasting, they had a bit of rain yesterday. It's officially still good to firm, but then they had a bit more rain, and there's more rain coming along, I think, so... We'll see, but I think the Eclipse is probably the better option in terms of trip anyway, a little bit shorter in distance, the way he won at Newmarket over, was it 9 furlongs, I think? So, yeah, I think the step, the mile and a quarter trip will be more to his liking than the mile and a half. I think he'd probably just stay a mile and a half, but it all depends on which True Story turns up, I suppose. He was very buzzy before the Epsom Derby, and with the Eclipse being... Obviously, it's a big race, but they parade in front of the stands, but they'd have to go through, they have to go past as many people. They go to the start, they canter back in front of the stands, so they don't, it's not like the whole buzz of Epsom Day, so I think he'll probably take that a bit more with it in his stride, because it'll be obviously very busy at the Curragh tomorrow as well.
Yeah. What do you make of True Story's form? Because after the Dante, it was cribbed quite heavily, wasn't it? But
well,
that form's working out okay now.
It is, yeah. I mean,
he's seventh in the Derby, which is respectable enough.
Yeah, and obviously the winner of the Dante won the French Derby afterwards, the Grey Gatsby.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the form does look a little bit more solid than it certainly did at the time. People were quick to crab him at the time, and perhaps rightfully so. But I think it has shown... it has shown in due course to not have been as bad a run as it first suggested.
Mm. Okay, well, we'll leave that there. We'll move on to Saturday's racing, and we'll get Gary's thoughts in three of the day's races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, then looking ahead to Saturday, we'll go in chronological order, which means the 2:55 at Newmarket is the first that Gary's picked out. This is the Fred Archer Stakes, which is a listed race over a mile and a half for four-year-olds and over eight of them in the lineup here. Gary, which ones have you got on the shortlist?
I've got a couple on the shortlist. Sheikh Zayed Road, who will like the quick conditions. He was the winner at Dubai, out in Dubai earlier on in the year. He's won here before. They seem to have sorted out his quirks now. I think he might have actually ran in this race last year. He certainly ran on in a race here on the July course when he probably hung his chance away. But those tendencies have seemingly been ironed out a little bit. And he comes in here with a big chance. He'll like the ground. We haven't seen the best of Energia Eros yet. The blinkers go on him for the first time. The fact that they've put a relatively sort of inexperienced jockey on, though, tempers enthusiasm. Cameron Highland improved quite a bit towards the back end of last year. He comes in here with a chance. In Gatewood's won his last two, but does have a penalty to carry, courtesy of a previous listed race success. The one I'm going to go for, though, because I think he may be able to get the run of the race out in front, he was a winner at Ripon when he made all on his penultimate outing, is the two-horse Battalion, trained by William Haggis. Ryan Moore takes the ride. He was seventh. He was last of seven in a listed race at Newbury when he didn't really get the soft lead that he craves last time out. Ryan Moore booked for the Willie Haggis yard, obviously a huge big plus. I would imagine they will try and make all the running with him. And I often find that on the July course, on this mile and a half, it's a long goal straight, but they seem to finish the races not particularly quickly, and I think the place to be is often out in front. So hopefully Ryan can bag the stand side rail once they've turned for home, and I think should be a fair enough price as well. So Battalion is the first selection in the 2:55.
Okay, Battalion then in the Fred Archer Stakes. Up to Newcastle we go for the 3:50 next. Their big race is the Northumberland Plate, a heritage handicap over 2 miles. And we have betting on site as well, so if you want to have a bet in the Northumberland Plate, you can already. Angel Gabriel heads that betting at 6-1. Suju is 8-1. 9-1 for Dark Crusader. Lucky Bridal, 10-1 with Nearly Caught. Oriental Fox and Van Persie. 14-1 for Big Thunder and Total Eyes. Glenard is 16s with Noble Silk and Tropical Beat. And 25-1 or bigger prices. The rest, who'd you like here, Gary?
The one I'm going to select is Nearly Caught of Huey Morrison's. Only a four-year-old, a very unexposed four-year-old, however. Crucially, he's got a good draw in two. I know this is a two-mile race, but traditionally, you need a single-figure draw. I think there have been the odd exception over the years, but Tominator, who won this race for the second time last year, was drawn four. And I think the two before that were certainly drawn low-ish anyway. Nearly Caught was second last time out at Haydock, doing all his best work in the closing stages. Provided he can hold his good draw and not get too far shuffled back, he's one of the likely raced runners in the field. Adrian Nichols takes the ride for the Hugh Morrison team towards the top of the weights, but it's a very compressed handicap. Just look, there's only, what, a stone just over between top and bottom weight, and there is a field of 20, so don't be surprised when they turn for home to see quite a few of them in with a chance. Obviously, it's a race that you are going to need a fair bit of luck in running gear in. But Nearly Caught will be the selection. We've got to mention a couple of the others. Oriental Fox, I think, ran in this race last year. He might have been second, actually. He certainly ran in the race once or twice before, anyway. Was sixth in the Gold Cup. Comes quite quickly after this race, unfortunately. I think he's probably worth opposing on that alone. And also top weight, carrying top weight won't be easy. Marwan Kukash's pair. Sujiu was a winner last time out, so he comes into the race in good form. And also Angel Gabriel's been very consistent this season, winning on this one's penultimate outing, was a good second last time out as well. What's an interesting runner. I see they're claiming £7 off him. He hasn't been seen for a while, but the fact that Peter Chapel Higham sends him here without a run may well be significant. Draw 19 could be kinder. Big Thunder progressed a great deal, one of the Smart Prescott finds of the season last year, winning quite a few times. Again, the draw's not been kind to him. So Mark's horses had the first runner back earlier on in the week, ran okay. But again, the draw is a bit of an issue, and you don't want to be backing any from that yard really until you start, till you see them starting having winners. Dark Crusader for Tony Martin is interesting. You can forget those most recent outings. I think this will have been the plan for a long time, so he has to be respected too. Van Persie's won two of his last three. Oisin Murthy takes the ride on him. He has to be respected as well. And the Brian Allison pair are always worth a second look. He obviously likes to win this race. Boothalese, he was last seen jumping. He hasn't been seen on the flat for a long time. You got the impression he's been specifically purchased with this race in mind. And Totalize, who won at York just over a fortnight ago, Brian's other runner, is in with a squeak as well, carries a penalty for that. He says Brian, of course, would love to win this race. I think he was born on Northumberland Plate Day, albeit quite some time ago. Plenty more chances, as I say then, but the one I'm going to go for is Nearly Caught.
Okay, Nearly Caught then for Gary in the Northumberland Plate. Just one more to mention that, well, go back to Totalize. Gary gave him quite a strong word there. Brian Ellison believes him to be well handicapped after sneaking in down at the bottom of the weights. The only thing is, Megan Carberry won't be riding. She's been headbutted by a horse and therefore can't ride at the moment. So Robert Winston takes over. So a bit of news there with regards to Totalize.
Yeah.
Moving on to the final race, we're going to look at the 5:30 at the Curra, the big race there, the Irish Derby, a Group 1 over a mile and a half for three-year-olds. And the betting has been out on site for a while. Australia 4-11 market leader, Kingston Hill 100-30, 14-1 for Fascinating Rock, 16s for Geoffrey Chaucer, and 25s or bigger prices the rest. Is there any way you can see past Australia here?
No, he's beaten all of these bar Ponfig in the Derby. Kingston Hill was second behind him, Fascinating Rock was 8th, Geoffrey Chaucer, Kingfisher and Orchestra were all on place. Unless the heavens open, Kingston Hill won't get near him, I don't think. Again, I think what was the 2 and a bit lengths between them last time might well be a similar margin, but unless the ground goes a little bit softer, then it's difficult really to see Australia being beaten. Obviously that Guinness form continues to look ever stronger, and this is the first time we're really going to see the Derby form tested as such. But if he runs as he did 3 weeks ago, then he'll take the world of beating. Obviously, you know, most of these horses are still fairly inexperienced and they might well have found a fair bit of improvement since the last run. And of course, it's on a different course, a much different course. Some of these horses probably didn't handle Epsom. I think Geoffrey Chaucer was certainly one of those. He was well looked after after his chance had gone. The one that hasn't raced against Australia thus far is Ponfig, of John Ox's, who has won his last two starts at Leopardstown and Navan very impressively. Both of those victories coming over a mile. Obviously, it's a step up in trip, but I think looking on the breeding, that shouldn't really be an issue for him. So he might be one to toy with to maybe put in for the forecast. It's a shame, really, we haven't got the extra runner, because with 8 runners, the dead 8, and the 3 places to go for, he would have made some appeal at 20-25-1, albeit he probably wouldn't have been that price, having thought about that, I suppose. But he might be the one that, if Kingston Hill doesn't let himself down on the ground, I mean, he probably will. So, but Ponfig is certainly one to be keeping an eye on. Maybe a little bit further down the line, but it's difficult to get away from the favourite Australia and expect him to win. And then maybe step down in trip for the Eclipse, or maybe go for the King George, we'll see.
Okay, Australia then hard to oppose. Aidan O'Brien with a great record in the race, of course. He's won 6 of the last 7 renewals of the Irish Derby. And with that in mind, I wouldn't mind keeping an eye on Orchestra. I don't think he'll win, but he didn't run his race in the Derby. I did think a little bit of him before that, so maybe just keep an eye on him to see how he runs. But Australia, hard to beat. Thank you very much, Gary. Should be a good
pleasure
day on Saturday. Enjoy it.
Will do.
So there you go, the thoughts of Gary Capewell on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:25 p.m. with Gordon Brown, Craig Forsyth and James Millman in the studio. Chester, Newcastle, Newmarket and Windsor in the afternoon. Doncaster and Lingfield in the evening. And it's Irish Derby Day at the Curra. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.